So in this module, I want to talk about what the current recommendations are for screen time. And then I'm going to also share why I don't necessarily endorse prescriptive, universal time-based guidelines when it comes to screen time. So what are the current recommendations? I want to start by saying this may surprise you. And I also want you to remember Maya Angelou's saying that when you know better, you do better. When I share these recommendations at parent seminars and in presentations, people are often very surprised, and there are sometimes feelings that we failed as a parent. And I think a universal desire as parents is for us to always do the best we can by our children. So remember, if you didn't know this information, and can I say most parents, health professionals, allied health professionals, and educators are often completely unaware that these guidelines exist. So please don't feel bad if you didn't know what these guidelines were, but also don't fret, because I'm actually going to suggest that we don't need to strictly adhere to these guidelines. Just to help you ditch your what I call techno shame, if you feel guilty that your child hasn't followed these guys, screen time guidelines, findings from a 2014 study in Australia, the Physical Activity Report Card, showed that 26% of Australian children aged 2 to 4 years are meeting the screen time guidelines. So that was only 26%, which is no more than 1 hour a day. And only 29% of children aged 5 to 17 were meeting the Australian screen time guidelines, which was to accumulate no more than 2 hours of screen time a day. Other studies have shown that 45% of 8-year-olds and 80% of 12 to 17-year-olds are using screens for more than the recommended screen time limits each day. So I guess it's just to take reassurance that you're not the only person if you feel like you're not adhering to these guidelines. So these are what our Australian screen time guidelines currently are. And at the time of recording this, there was no suggestion that these guidelines would be revised. Someone from the Department of Health, a representative, was contacted in 2015 after the American Academy of Pediatrics revised their guidelines in late 2015. And the Australian representative from the Department of Health said that there were no plans to revise or update the Australian guidelines. So at the moment, the existing guidelines are based on all screen time. So we're talking here about televisions, video games, interactive whiteboards used at schools, tablets, desktop computers, handheld devices. Any sort of screen-based technology is considered screen time. These current guidelines, do not distinguish between educational use of screens and the use of screens for leisure. So leisure and learning screen time is lumped all under the one umbrella. So these recommendations are for no screen time. That's 0 for 0 to 2-year-olds. For 2 to 5-year-olds, no more than 1 hour a day. And for 5 to 12-year-olds, 1 to 2 hours of total screen time a day. Now, there are a couple of problems with these guidelines, and I want to just address these. One is that these guidelines were developed at the back of as part of the process of an anti-obesity policy. And the anti-obesity policy classed all screen time as passive and non-productive. Now, I challenge this assertion. I don't believe, particularly in the age of interactive technologies, that all technologies are passive and non-productive. So the problem is that these guidelines class all screen time as equal. And we know that all screen time isn't created equal. For example, an hour spent talking to grandma on Skype is very different to an hour spent playing a violent video game, yet they're all classed under that umbrella of being 1 hour of screen time. So you can see here that if we just rely on screen time alone, using time purely as a metric, that it's not particularly helpful in terms of indicating whether screen time is healthy and helpful. There isn't an exact science. I think these guidelines sometimes lull parents and educators and health professionals into a false sense of security. They're not based on scientific studies that have proven that these are safe thresholds. Many parents think, you know, I meet the 1 hour deadline a day, I'm okay. There's nothing to prove that, you know, an hour and a half is, you know, excessive or harmful for your child. So this isn't an exact science. My other concern with these guidelines is that it can disregard other really important issues when it comes to screen time, such as what's a child doing with a screen and when are they using it. And so parents can actually be lulled into a false sense of security if they're only focusing on time, if they're only monitoring how much time their child is spending consuming or using screens. And my other big concern with these guidelines is that they're based on research, then most of the research that we have about excessive amounts of screen time is with passive types of technology. So the majority of the research where these guidelines have been based have been looking at passive use like television and watching videos. And we now know that screens are a lot more interactive and engaging. So these are the current Australian guidelines, and I'm not suggesting for one moment that children don't need screen time guidelines. I don't want that to be misconstrued. Kids certainly do need screen limits and screen time guidelines, but we can't adhere strictly to time-based metric limits. I think specifying a screen time limit purely based on a child's chronological age is misleading and unhelpful. I think instead we need to look at other factors beyond just the how much and beyond just how old they are. So what I suggest to parents, and in one of your handouts you can see this, is starting with the science. What do we actually know about what kids need? And we know that they need physical activity levels. So we really must make sure that children are getting the prescriptive amounts of physical activity every day. And you can see in the handout just how much that is. We also need to make sure they're getting adequate amounts of sleep. And we do have science and research that tells us, you know, fairly prescriptively just how much sleep children should be having. So we need to start with these guidelines that give us some good indication of what kids actually need, and then looking at where screen time fits in around this. In America, as I mentioned before, the American Academy of Pediatrics have actually relaxed their screen time guidelines. And these are due to be updated again in 2016, but they're no longer using time as a metric. They're no longer enforcing strict screen time limits. The American Academy of Pediatrics were concerned that their guidelines were at risk of being obsolete, that they weren't actually realistic in the digital age. So instead of having time metrics, the American Academy of Pediatrics now has a set of guiding principles to help parents navigate and figure out what sorts of things they should be considering when it comes to their kids using screens. So some of these include treating media as you would any other environment in your child's life. So set limits and encourage playtime. Make sure you play together. This idea of co-viewing, being a good role model, easier said than done. And valuing face-to-face communication. They also recommend establishing, as I've mentioned, tech-free zones, so places where gadgets don't go. Avoid using technology as an emotional pacifier. When it comes to apps and technology for kids, do your homework. Don't just be convinced that it's educational because it's got that educational icon on it. It's okay. Don't feel guilty that your child likes being online. And remember that kids will be kids, so they will make mistakes, so we have to be able to support them. So these were the guidelines that the American Academy of Pediatrics, the principles that they're saying are basically best practice for modern parents. At the very beginning of this workshop, I mentioned the idea of what effective parents do in the digital age. And we had the three examples. Were we the helicopter parent, the drone who was always hovering? Were we with the hands on our ears and closing our eyes and just ignoring it? Or are we the mum and dad who's in there being actively involved? So it's really important. I think they're a helpful starting point, these principles. So if I'm saying disregard the recommended guidelines, I think we need to look at why I'm saying that. And I think what we need to do, as opposed to just focusing on a specific amount, a quantitative measure based simply on a child's chronological age, we need to look beyond that. And we need to say, well, if kids are online, if they're using a screen, what are they doing online? And I'm going to unpack that a little bit more. We've also talked in this workshop about what's the opportunity cost? What are they missing out on by being on a screen? And then the third point, which we've also addressed, particularly when it comes to sleep, play and movement is when are they using screens? Is it displacing these opportunities? Is it interfering with their opportunities to play and socialize and interact and move? So when it comes to considering what they're doing online, as I mentioned before, there's a difference between talking to grandma on Skype and having that serve and return ping pong interaction and playing hours and hours of age inappropriate video games. So we can break down what children are doing with screens into different categories. And traditionally, and children still tend to like to do this type of activity, it's consumption. Children are passively usually watching something. And this can cause what I call the digital zombie effect. This is where you could be running around naked behind them and they'd be completely oblivious to it. It probably isn't a surprise to you to know that the number one kids app is the YouTube app. Kids really like, and we like it too. You know, we tune out with technology every now and then. I'm a bit of a bandit for watching trashy TV every now and then. So we do it too, but we have to make sure that this is not the predominant or the only thing that kids do with technology. Why? When they're consuming, they're very passive. They're not actively thinking and engaging. They're often not physically active. So we want to monitor and limit how much time they're spending just on consumption types of activities. But kids can also create, and this is the really powerful and exciting potential that technology offers. We've got kids creating digital books, animations, stories, songs, movies. There are so many apps and websites and digital tools that let our kids create content. And this is where the power is. Can you see that an hour spent creating a digital book, perhaps with a sibling, is very different to an hour spent watching television or watching YouTube clips? So we need to make sure we give our kids opportunities to create. We also want them to communicate. And this is the real power of technology as well. We have many families now who are separated by space, physical distance, and video chat technologies are a wonderful example of technology allowing kids to communicate. So if we were adhering to our recommended screen time limits back here, I would have in fact breached, for want of a better word, the recommended limits, because when my son was 18 months, he loved having a Skype conversation with Grandma Jones, his great-grandmother who lived in a different state. And here they were singing nursery rhymes. They were singing heads and shoulders, knees and toes in this example. And Grandma Jones and my son Taj loved this ping pong interaction. Now you can see here that creating and communicating online is very different to that passive consumption. So we want, where possible, to give kids opportunities to create and communicate more than simply just consuming. A bit of consumption every now and then is okay, but we don't want our kids to be passive all of the time. So I hope in this section I've clearly explained what the current guidelines are in Australia and why I don't necessarily endorse them. It's really important, again, that I reiterate that our kids really do need limits. I'm not suggesting give them open slather. Instead, we need to come up with screen time limits that are relevant and to our children and based on their individual developmental needs. And that's what I'm hoping I can share with you in the next video.